It's been said that the only Bible we know is the Bible that we know in our hearts. It's only those stories, those verses, those pieces of Scripture that we actually remember that form our Bible. And as such, that anthem is excellent. It's wonderful. It tells the entire story of Scripture in four verses. And the story it tells is a story of the Holy Spirit. A couple of things to tell you so that you can be more aware of where the Holy Spirit appears in Scripture. The symbols for the Holy Spirit are, there are a few of them. One, of course, is wind. The wind of Pentecost blowing in and around is one of the examples of how wind is standing in for the Holy Spirit. Fire is another one. That same story, there are tongues of flame that dance on people's heads. But we also know that there is a fire in the desert that does not consume the bush that the Lord speaks out of to Moses. The dove is another symbol, not one that comes up very often, but you might remember that a dove descends when Jesus is baptized. Now, one of the other things that I want to mention so that you can know when the Spirit is being referred to, especially in Scripture, is that the word itself indicates a couple of different things. And translators are always required to make a choice. And sometimes that choice is as much about flipping a coin as it is being able to tell what is actually meant. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruah. In English, we would spell it R-U-A-H, but it's supposed to be a very breathy sound, ruah. And that gets translated as spirit. It also gets translated as wind. It also gets translated as breath, which is why we sang, "Breathe on me, O breath of God." But whenever in the Old Testament you see one of those three words, I hope you can remember that ruah is the word behind all of them. And oftentimes, it is a choice to say that it is wind or breath as opposed to spirit. And when Moses says, out of your nostril comes your breath, your wind, and pushes away the waters of the sea so that they might cross the Red Sea, well, that's also God's spirit moving the waters out of the way. And when there is a wind that moves over the face of the deep at the very beginning of creation, yea, even before creation, that's God's spirit. That's God's breath just swooping along. Now, that's kind of fun that's true in Hebrew. The amazing thing is, even though it is a language based upon a completely different foundation, the same is true in Greek. That is, the word that we would translate as spirit is the word pneuma, all right? Like pneumonia. All right? And that word can also be translated in the same ways. Spirit, breath, wind. I always find that really amazing that in two languages we get such richness from a single word. And so when we talk about that, the rush, the sound of the rush of a mighty wind, a mighty breath, a mighty spirit moving through that upper room in Jerusalem on Pentecost, it adds a great deal to the story to me. And when we talk about Jesus breathing his last, the spirit going out of him, the breath going out of him, the wind being stilled, we again get that same sense. So we have this anthem, Spirit of Gentleness. Sometimes the spirit isn't all that gentle. It will push, it will shove. And that too is a part of the spirit. But I love how this anthem starts with Spirit of Gentleness, provoke us to action. The Spirit of Gentleness is a lot better than the spirit of a hurricane or a 2x4 that provokes us to action. So always look for and be aware when you're sensing a spirit of gentleness provoking you, because it's not the only tool that the Spirit has, that God has. And that is the purpose of the Spirit. We hear in Scripture of how the Spirit goes and does stuff for God, with God, by God. And that's true Old Testament, New Testament. The Spirit is an active force of God moving about and inspiring and getting things done. Which is why we have that fourth verse in that anthem, talking about the Spirit giving bold decisions and dreams and visions and breaking ancient schemes. Because the whole story that we have in Scripture is about God transforming what is into what should be, what was into what will be. It's the Spirit that goes about and pushes things along and blows the dust away and wipes out the sand and the sea that might get in our way from moving forward. God's Spirit is power, it's action, it's life, it's breath. And it is that that we celebrate in part on a Sunday morning. We talk about the Holy Trinity, but we tend to talk mostly about God and about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is something that we just don't talk enough about. Oh, sure, on Pentecost, we always read that passage from Acts chapter 2. But you know what? It's not often that we really pull up the stories of the Holy Spirit and lift them up and say, yet again, thus saith the Holy Spirit. And I think perhaps we should, because even though at one point I did suggest that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a very good PR person, the truth is, we are that PR person now, and we may not be doing a very good job. We can always do a little bit more talking about God as creator, as former, as that bigness that is beyond big. We're very good about talking about Jesus, who taught and teaches to this day, who indeed died but lives in so many real, tangible, and spiritual ways. But the Holy Spirit, we don't tend to talk enough about that. And that's probably more about the preachers than it is about the people. I know. So I'm trying to take a step here in correcting that and encouraging you to be aware of where the Holy Spirit is. And any time you are hearing a story from people that somehow connects to the stories that this anthem reflects upon, think to yourself, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moving at creation. The Holy Spirit moving Moses, moving the people to wander in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit blowing the wind, blowing in that wilderness. That Holy Spirit filling them up with breath yet again. When you hear about God taking mud and forming a little mud man and putting his breath into it, think to yourself, the Holy Spirit. When you have that sweet breath of cool air coming through the window anytime in the last 4 weeks, think to yourself, the Holy Spirit can be represented by that breeze. And maybe even mention that to people around you. Mention that we talk about how the Spirit moves in our lives on Sunday mornings, how we pray to the Spirit to melt us and to mold us. And I would encourage you to also occasionally pray to the Holy Spirit. Sure, we pray to God and we think, oh, Trinity, but I don't know about you, but my prayers are different when I pray to God and actually when I pray to Jesus and also when I pray to the Holy Spirit. So as a spiritual practice to learn, try several times praying to the Holy Spirit. See how that changes what you say and how you listen. And I would invite you to remember the words of Jesus when Jesus was talking to his disciples. John records that the night before he was to die, just before he was betrayed, he told his disciples that God would send a counselor, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help and be with us forever. And that Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father will testify on my behalf. The Holy Spirit is an important part of our faith. And even though preachers in our tradition are shy about talking about it, I would not have you shy about knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you now and always will be. That the Holy Spirit moves about you and you breathe it in when you are willing to acknowledge that the Spirit is right there. Amen.